Daddy took God out of the house. So nobody's there to warn children about hell. Look at Luke 16, if you will. Luke 16, start with verse 19. This is an actual story. The Jehovah's Witness will come to your house and tell you it's a parable, but every time Jesus told a parable, he said it was a parable. And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This is an earthly story with a hell meaning. It's not a parable. There's never names given in parables. There's a name given in this. So let's look at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, the rich man's gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He was just there for a little food. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Tells me he had nobody to take care of him. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's why that song was written, Come Angels Band. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. In other words, laying on the chest of Abraham. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, a space, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. In other words, this was the Old Testament age, they had the Old Testament. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, the word of God, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And we've seen that Jesus rose, and they're not persuaded. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless his word today. Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., the late last great Methodist evangelist, he said there's nothing wrong in America that 8 weeks of preaching on hell wouldn't fix. That's real old-fashioned Methodist, everybody. And he's right. So for the next few weeks, I don't know if I'm going to make it 8, but the next few weeks, every Sunday morning, I'm preaching about hell. We need a revival of hell. We do. We need a revival of the understanding, the doctrine, the teaching of an everlasting, ever-burning, ever-tormenting place of the damned. We need it. Our country needs it. There are no consequences to people's actions anymore. It used to be if you did this, you went to jail. If you did this, you got put in an electric chair. If you did this, they took your driver's license. If you did this, you lost your wife, you lost your husband, whatever. That doesn't happen anymore. It used to be if you got this done, happened to me before, you get kicked out of school. They don't do that anymore. It used to be if you went to church, every once in a while you hear something about hell. Don't hear that anymore. It's almost like it's a hidden truth now. You hear on 5 ways to succeed. You hear on 10 ways to how to be rich and famous. You hear 3 ways how to have the abundant this and the abundant that. But hardly ever will you turn on the TV or turn on the radio or visit a church that you will hear the doctrine of an everlasting hell created by a loving God. A recent survey I read just the last week. Now, the survey was taken years ago, but I just read last week. It revealed that over 53% in America almost certainly believe in a hell, with around 17% more saying there probably is a hell. And those put together would make about 70% of Americans still believe in hell. Now, then why do we have silence from the pulpits of America if the majority still believe in hell? Why do we have silence from the pulpits about hell? It's almost like it's a hidden doctrine. I'm not very smart. My wife, my daughters are a lot smarter than I am, more educated. The Earth's core is approximately 11,000 degrees at the center of the earth, as far as the scientists can determine. When I think of the world's view of hell, I think of this verse right here. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not." If you can believe that the center of the earth is 11,000 degrees, and God said this story happened in Abraham's bosom in the center of the earth, then why would you not believe in hell? And most certainly, if scientists don't believe in hell, but they believe the center of the earth is burning. By the way, all these volcanoes in Hawaii and places like that, there's a verse in Isaiah that says, God enlarges hell. Hell enlarges itself. So the more people come, it's getting more crowded. That stuff, that molten rock around it, has got to get out because hell's being expanded. It's the truth. It's the truth. Amen. Now, saved people think just very little bit about hell, not very often. Those of us who know we've been saved by the grace of God. We weren't born saved. We got born again. We know it. We know we're going to heaven. But we don't say much about it. Why? It doesn't enter our mind much anymore because we're not going to hell. I used to have nightmares about dying and going to hell. I used to worry about it. I used to read books about it. I remember when I was dating my wife, I was about 18, 19 years old. I'm going down the road on Highway 5 down there at Bow Waters driving a Dodge Demon. That's what I'm driving, a Dodge Demon. A demon was driving it. I'm going down through there, and all of a sudden, the sky lights up, and I look up, and this big ball of fire is coming down out of a clear sky, a gigantic ball of fire, and it hits these little old clouds, and when it hits them, it spreads out all kind of colors and stuff, and the whole sky lights up, and the first thought I had was this: I'm a dead man. It's a nuclear bomb, and I'm going to hell. I'm going to melt with a fervent heat, and I'm going to hell in a fervent heat. Amen? Now, you might think that's funny, but that's the kind of stuff lost people think about. And I feared death. But since I've been born again, it doesn't bother me. Right. Preacher, what if they start shooting bombs? Amen. Let's go get a cheeseburger before we go. Put a lot of mayonnaise on it. We ain't worried about clogging up nothing. Amen. My wife and I went to St. Simon's Island this past week. Wonderful, beautiful place if you've never been. Very, very family. There's nothing there would draw anything else. Beautiful beach. And we went out on this one point, and it sticks way out in the ocean. When the tide goes out, there's a river comes down through there, and there's an island way over there, and all that turns into sand for probably 2 miles. And you can see, man told me you can see 7.5 miles out across the ocean and up to the sky another 10 miles. And we're standing there, and the sun's going down, and I look over there, and there's not a rainbow, but there's a rain a rainbow spot over there in those clouds, way off on the horizon, was just a, looked like a round spot of all different colors where that sun was hitting. And the clouds were just different colors and different layers. And I told my wife, I said, when I die, this would be a good place to take off from right here. Beautiful. Take your breath away. And I, me and her walked across there like teenagers, holding hands and having a good time together like that. But I don't think much about hell. I've been saved. I think about heaven. I think a lot about heaven. I think about the people in heaven that's there that I know. I hardly ever think about people in hell that I know. And that's sad that we think that way. We ought to think more the other way. We ought to think more about hell and the people that we know that are in hell right now, alive. And we need to get back to the reality of there is a hell.
Right. Come on now.
And we ought to get back to it because sinners are going to hell.
Right.
We were, but we're not anymore. But we'll think about those that are going to hell.
Right.
And now we entertain them and we friend them and everything else. And we never warn them about the dangers of hell. I'm sure certain that rich man didn't spend much time thinking about hell before he died either. Amen?
Amen?
I'm sure all those friends he entertained didn't think much about hell either. And then I think that while they attended his funeral, they probably didn't think much about hell, but he was already in hell, burning. The average funeral doesn't anymore, but it used to last. It still ought to. You ought to get some life insurance so you can do it. Last 2 or 3 days. You have family and friends night. I think that's a good thing to have. You ought to give your friends and your family time enough to mourn you. Now you die and they burn you up and put you in a bottle and throw you out in the ocean or something. Don't have time to mourn. Don't have time to think about whether somebody went to hell or not. Used to be you'd go to family and friends, a visitation we called it the night before. And by the way, these are old Irish traditions. And we'd go to family and friends. We'd mourn with the people. Amen? Whether they went to heaven or hell, we'd mourn with them. And then during the funeral, had a real funeral. You ought to have one. They didn't have a memory service. They had a funeral, a real funeral. And it gave time for people to think about the one that's gone on ahead of them and how they're going to go one day. It gives people time to think about heaven and hell. Amen? And then, but the subject of hell is not easy to preach on. It's not easy to talk about. But it is an eternal reality.
Amen.
And just because 20%, 30% of Americans don't believe in it does not make it any less hell.
Right.
Just because 30% of Americans don't believe in it, so these hireling preachers are afraid to preach about it, makes it not one iota any cooler than it was the day that the rich man went to hell. Denial does not do away with it. And no one likes to talk about it because of the subject. Nobody wants to talk about anybody going to hell. I don't like to look at people and say, look, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell.
Amen.
But somebody's got to do it.
Amen.
They did it to me. That's one of the things that drew me to Christ. I realized there was a hell. You think those people said, we're going to go see Ron Roddy, that old sorry unbeliever, and we're going to talk to him about hell. Whoopee! No, sir. They came over there weeping and saying, don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. And we don't like to talk about it because of the place. It's not our favorite place to preach about. I'd rather preach about heaven. A lot of preachers don't preach it because they'll lose their job. Their church right here in town fired their pastor, big older church, Southern Baptist Church, fired their pastor because they warned him twice, you're preaching too much on hell. And I can't imagine him preaching too much on hell. I can't imagine part of it at all. And so they begin to say, the deacon board said, we've got to read your sermons before you preach them so we can make sure they're all right. Well, we ain't got one deacon. I'm sure I'd never have to tell him this, but if we had 25 of them, I'll go ahead and serve notice right now. You ain't reading my stinking sermon before I preach because half time I don't even know what I'm going to preach. I got a plan, but it don't always go by my plan. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to preach on hell. Like it, lump it, or leave it. I'm preaching on hell every once in a while. You need it. I need it. Here's some real people that went to hell. One's got a name. He didn't choose to name nothing. Now, this is before Jesus died and rose from the grave and took those captives out of Abraham's bosom. When people died, they went to the heart of the earth, their soul did, and they either went to paradise called Abraham's bosom, looking for the Savior to come and pay their sin debt so they could go to heaven. They couldn't go to heaven until the sin debt was paid. John the Baptist was there. Elijah was there. Elisha was there. And they were there. And then way over here in the fire, they wasn't in the fire. In the fire was hell, and that's where people who were unbelievers, whether they were Jew or Gentile, they went to hell. But they could see each other. When Abraham, they called it Abraham's bosom because Abraham was the father of the Jews. Okay? And so when that rich man woke up in hell, says he lifted up his eyes, being in torment immediately. Wasn't any limbo, there wasn't a soul sleep. He closed his eyes in life. And before they had his funeral, while they were having his funeral, while the family and friends were visiting, and still he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Immediately, he died and he went to hell. And then Lazarus, now, he didn't go to heaven because he was poor. There's a lot of people, poor people go to hell too. He went to Abraham's bosom because he was a believer looking for the Savior. And he was over here. And they could see each other. It's not like that anymore. When Jesus rose from the dead, before he rose from the dead, he went down there and took those people out and took them up to heaven because he done paid the sin debt. Nobody could go to heaven until that debt was paid. Now, real people. I want you to think about the place for just a few minutes. I got a lot to read, so I'm not asking you to turn to any of these scriptures. I just want you to listen real close, okay? in Luke 16:23, it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes. It's a real place. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not a fanatical's illusion. I know they call us fanatics, but we didn't make this stuff up. Amen? It was there before we got here. And look, it ought to, when we look at hell, it ought to stir those who are lost not to want to go there, but it ought to stir those who are saved to warn people not to go there. How can you love somebody and not warn them about hell? It's mentioned all through this passage and all through the Bible. It's not a fantasy. It's not a fear thing that preachers use to scare people. It's not something to be joked about or made fun of. If you're saved, you tell somebody to go to hell, you might want to check up on your salvation. Yes, there's no time limit on it. You don't burn up as the Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witness and all these other people say. You don't burn up. It's forever. Yes, it's eternal. And it's a terrible place. In verse 63, he says, being in torments when he opened his eyes. It's a place of torment. It's not just a place you go and it's dark. I heard one preacher say it's dark, but the fire is there and you burn up after you pay for your sins. No, sir. It's a real place. It's eternal. There's no escape. There's no second chances. Nobody can pay the church $20 to say a special prayer for you to get you out of hell. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no in between. Read the story. It's heaven or it's hell. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. They made that stuff up to make money. Amen. Did you know Revelation 20 verse 15 says it's a lake of fire? Revelation 20 verse 1 says a bottomless pit. Psalm 11:6 says a horrible tempest. Isaiah 33:14 says a place of everlasting burning. Matthew 13:41 and 42 says a furnace of fire. Isaiah 33:14 a devouring fire. Luke 16:23, place of torments. Matthew 25:46, everlasting punishments. Luke 16:27, we see it's a place where they pray. Luke 16:24, place where they cry for mercy. Matthew 13:42, a place where they wail. Revelation 16:11, where they curse God. up Matthew 12:32, where they never repent. Revelation 20:10-11, a place of filthiness. Matthew 8:12 says a place of weeping. Psalm 18:5, a place of sorrow. Matthew 8:12, a place of outer darkness. Revelation 14:11, a place where they have no rest. Revelation 16:10, where they gnaw their tongues for pain. Jude 13, a place of blackness and darkness forever. Matthew 9:48, a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Revelation 14:10, a place where they're tormented with fire and brimstone. Revelation 14:11, a place where the smoke of their torments ascendeth up forever. Luke 16:28, our passage, a place where they want their loved ones to be saved and not come there.
Amen.
The Bible's got more on hell than it does heaven. We know more about hell than we do heaven. Jesus taught more about hell than he did heaven. It's an incomprehensible place. There's no way to comprehend what there is there and to understand it other than it will never go away. That's all I can really understand. I can understand how there's a fire that doesn't go out. I can't understand how you're in a fire, but you're in total blackness. I can't understand how there's fire and brimstone, and yet there's no fuel for that. I can't understand how people are tormented night and day and night and day and night and day in that flame. I can't understand that. I can't comprehend that. I've never seen anything like that. Never even experienced even a little bit of that. That doesn't make it less real. It makes it more fearful.
Amen.
That I can't understand it.
Right.
It's a place to be shunned, I can tell you that.
Right.
Now you listen to me. We can't think just because we're saved that our loved ones will catch on.
Right.
Nobody's just going to catch Christianity. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, well, that's what church is for. Yeah, but there ought to be Bibles in your house, too. Well, you say, preaching, that's what you're for. Yeah, but Mom and Daddy preach, too.
Amen.
Yeah, well, the love of God is what brings men to repentance. Only after they see the terror of hell are they moved by the compassion and the love of God, how God could love them and save them from such a terrible place. It's a place where the smoke of their torments ascendeth up forever. I guess the closest thing we could get to it, some of you are even too young to remember even hearing about that, in World War II, the Nazis, and by the way, they ain't changed. The Nazis took the Jews and other people. And they took 6 million Jews and did it to them, but it's estimated they took 5 million of other people who were not Jews and did the same thing. And they're still digging up bones over there. And they took those people and they stripped them naked and they put them in these... It's really a... I don't know. It's a room with... Yeah, they told them they were giving them showers. It's a gas chamber. And that gas would pour out and they would suffocate because of that gas. And then they'd take those naked bodies, boys and girls, men and women, old people, and throw them in holes. Just bodies piled on bodies and bodies. They'd already starved them just about to death anyway. They'd already abused them just about to death anyway. They were covered with lice and vermin. They slept in lice and vermin. They fed them gruel, just nasty, filthy slop, we call it. And then they killed them unmercifully naked. And then they threw them in pits and piles of people. And when I think about hell, I think of pits and piles of people being tormented by those flames. I remember when I was a little boy,
We live close to the airport in Lancaster, the old airport. It's not even there anymore. It's a forest now. That's how old I am. But the old airport, we lived close to there. And those little planes flew in there. It's dirt. You know, those little Cessna planes were flying now. And I remember when I was a little boy, there was a larger plane that tried to land there. I think it had 6 people on it. And it couldn't do it. It tried, and it wrecked in its landing, and it caught on fire. And I remember the sirens. I don't know if you were like this when you were young, but we had bicycles, and if we saw a fire truck, we paddled fast as we could to see where the fire truck was going. There's just something about the fire truck, and little boys and girls and bicycles. And we followed, we heard those fire trucks up there at the airport, and we saw that smoke, that black smoke going up in the air. And I remember getting probably 100 yards from that airport and smelling some of the awfulest smell I ever smelt in my life. And somebody said all 6 of those people were on fire inside that plane. And we could smell them. And I think about, he says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever, that nasty, filthy smell. And everybody's wanting to see it. And the police wouldn't let people go in to see it because they said it's such a horrible sight, you would not like what you see. I don't think we want to smell that smell from hell. I don't think we want to see what's really going on. But you know what? We have to. Those firemen had to see that. They had to smell that. They had to see that. Those people that tried to rescue them when it first caught on fire and they were screaming and hollering, I'm on fire, whatever they said. Those first responders, whoever they might have been, they had to see that. And we as believers, God put it in His Word. God doesn't like hell. God doesn't take any joy in describing hell and the people burning and tormented in hell. He doesn't take any enjoyment of that. But He says, you've got to see this. You've got to see it. You've got to understand it, because this is where people are going to go, and they're going to burn forever and ever and ever without salvation. They will not go to heaven, and they need a Savior, and somebody needs to go tell them not to come to hell. Up here, people don't have much compassion. But down there, they're praying you don't come. I can't help but believe, but right now, I really believe this, there's people that I know in hell, and I do. I know a good number of people in hell. Unless something happened to them on their deathbed that I don't know about, they died and went to a devil's hell, and I don't like to think about that. But I kind of believe they're down there right now saying, preach it, Brother Ron. Preach it, Brother Ron. Tell them, Brother Ron. Don't let them come to this awful place. That's what the rich man did. Said, I've got 5 brothers. Somebody go tell my brothers not to come down here. Somebody go beg them not to burn like I'm burning right now. Mark 9 in verse 43 says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having 2 hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life, halt into life, than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter the kingdom of God with 1 eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He said, hell's so bad. Now God said this. Hell's so bad, if the only thing that's keeping you from getting saved is that hand, cut it off. Cut it off! You'd be better off right to go to heaven with 1 hand than 2 and burn it in hell forever and ever and ever. He said, if you're having trouble with that foot, cut that foot off. If that's the only thing keeping you from getting saved, you'd be better off to cut your foot off than die and go to hell. He said, if the eye is what's stopping you, pluck your eye out. You'd be better off to go in there without an eye than to go to hell with both your eyes. That's some serious preaching.
Yes, yes, it is.
think about that. Well, preacher, I will get saved, but cut it off. Well, preacher, I've got this hindering me. Cut it off. But preacher, I'm married to him. Cut him off. Cut her off. Cut them off. Whatever it takes, get rid of it and turn away from that and turn to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'd be better off to go by yourself than to have to die and go to hell with that crowd that keeps holding you back. But preacher, I got this habit and I've been going to AA for 30 years. Cut it off. Be better to go to heaven and without your habit than to go to hell with it. Amen.
Come on now.
I get tired of people saying I'm a recovering addict. Get saved. Get saved. Turn away from that junk. You say it ain't that easy. It is that easy if you get looking at hell. You'd rather go to hell with crack than go to heaven without it. Cut it off.
Come on now. Good preaching.
You say, but if I get saved, I'm going to lose my boyfriend. Cut him off. You're going to hell with him. There ain't nobody worth going to hell over.
Amen.
Well, preacher, if I get saved, I'm going to have to leave that church. They don't believe in hell. Leave it.
Amen.
But my grandma's buried there. Dig her up. Take her with you. I told a fellow that one time. He said, I can't leave my church. All my family's buried out there. I said, dig them up. I'd rather go to heaven than go to hell in that dead church. Don't even believe in hell. Amen. Besides that, you paid for it. You got visitation rights. But preacher, I'm going to lose my job if I become a Christian. They'll think I'm a holy roller. Roll right out of there. I'd pick up cans and sell them before I'd stay. Amen. I'd rather go to heaven poor than to go to hell rich. This rich man found that out. Poor man ended up in heaven. The rich man ended up in hell. Amen? Amen. Listen, it's better. Hey, if it offends you, cut it off. If it offends you, pluck it out. Amen? Don't hang on to whatever it is. Man, woman, boy, girl. Well, my children, leave them. I'd rather go to heaven. Hey, they got to make their decision. You can't save your children. You need to quit thinking like that. God ain't got no grandchildren. Just because they're your children don't mean they're his children. They need to get saved. But preacher, they'll quit coming to see me. Oh, they'll come around. They'll come around because you got... Hey, if you got enough boldness to tell people, I used to have a hand right there. I cut it off. It was going to take me to hell.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's happening to a lot of people. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you listen to me. There is a hell. And when you got saved because you didn't want to go to hell. And I know what that pretty preacher says on television with his spiked hair and his stretched jeans and his high top tennis shoes. I know what he says, but he's a liar, he's a crook, he's a thief. You ought to run away from that crowd and leave them. Cut them off as fast as you can. Find you an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Somebody that preaches hellfire and damnation. Hell is hot, heaven's sweet. Run away from that crowd. You say, but she'll get offended. She'll not be in the pulpit to start with.
Amen.
Amen. I just put that in there. That ain't even in my sermon. I just had to say that. Amen. You know what? I'm happy I ain't going to hell. I don't know a whole lot about heaven. But the little bit I know about heaven is better than what I know about hell. I don't know a whole lot about what's going to happen in the next ages. And all I know is what I read in the Bible. But let me tell you something. if there was no heaven, it would still be worth not going to hell to get saved. There's some people living in hell on earth. They've created their own hell on earth. Tormented day and night because of their sin and their circumstances that they themselves have created. God didn't do that. And then they turn around and blame God for all that and say, if he loved me, this wouldn't be happening. No, if you get saved, it'll quit happening and you can see what real love is. You won't have to go to hell.
Right.
There's a lot of benefits to being a Christian. Yes, 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 there are. But the greatest benefit is I don't have to go to hell. You know what I'd have got the day before I got saved if I'd died? In hell. he lifted up his eyes being in torment. I know a lot of them saying, we used to say it, well, when we get to hell, we'll have a party. Rock groups wrote songs about it, Highway to Hell and Party in Hell. Let me tell you something. You ain't going to like nothing you see in hell or nobody you see in hell. Matter of fact, you may look at some of them and be mad and say, you should have warned me about this stinking place.
Amen.
But you're going to be tormented. You're not. It doesn't say he saw anybody in hell. He saw Lazarus in paradise. One thing about hell, you're going to be alone. You're going to be alone. And there's nobody there to comfort you. And there's nobody to tell you it's going to be all right. And listen, your mama ain't going to be there to make excuses for it. You're going to be all alone. Burning, 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 burning. Jesus paid sin debt, so I don't have to go to hell. He died. Look, he lived that sinless life you can't live. A life without sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He lived that life you cannot live. You will never be good enough to go to heaven. And it's like old Bully Falkenberry told me before I got saved. I said, well, preacher, when I quit lying and cussing and drinking and doing all these things, I'll come to your church and I'll get baptized and I'll be a Christian. He said, even if you could do that, which is impossible, you'll never be sinless. But even if you could do that, who's going to pay for what you've already done? I'd have died and went straight to a devil's hell. But shocker. If I got what I've deserved since I've been saved, I'd go to a devil's hell.
That's right. Come on, man.
And so would everybody in this room.
Right.
Now, you might have quit drinking, but you ain't quit sinning. You might have quit doping, but you ain't quit sinning. You might have quit being an adulterer or fornicator or something, but you ain't quit sinning. Sin is in you, and you're going to struggle with it till the day you die. But the difference is now the Holy Ghost of God lives in you, and now you can be free to make the choices. You had no choice before. You were going to sin. You couldn't help it. You were going to hell. You couldn't help it. But then you got saved by the grace of God, and the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And now you make choices right and wrong.
Yes. Amen.
I'm not going to hell. Not because I'm good. Not because I'm a preacher, a pastor. Not because I got a wonderful wife, wonderful children. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus
Amen.
Did on Calvary's cross.
Yes.
You know what he did? He took my hell on him. He took my hell on him. The Bible says he laid down his life willingly. Did you know if you were the only one that would ever believe on him, he still would have done it.
That's right.
Because God so loved the world. Everybody in it, if just one would have gotten saved, he'd have let his son die, and he did. But thank God he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave that third day. And now he sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And when God sees us, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, covered by his righteousness, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. There's no reason. That's right. There's no reason you can go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. There's a choice.
Yes, we are.
All you got to do is just turn. That's called repentance. Turn to him. The one-step program. Turn to him and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I don't want to go to hell. And I believe you died in my place so I wouldn't have to go to hell. And right now, the best way I know how, I'm receiving you as my Savior. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's your fire escape.
Amen.
There's your fire escape. And while all of hell burns and they all suffer,
He'll take care of you. Let's stand. Father, thank you.